Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster of Spring 2018, a series of messages on the Ascension and the things that happened right after the Ascension of Christ. You know, he rose from the grave, and then he went from there to heaven, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's interceding for us today. Well, then there was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that's been happening since he was here. Today, before I go with the announced document on this one, Jonathan Edwards, I have another one by Arthur Pink, who lived from 1886 to 1952. He was a pastor, an itinerant Bible teacher, an author, born in England, UK. This is called Christ's Intercession, and I've noticed that the persons who put the booklet together are just following things in order as they happened with Christ. So let's talk about Christ's intercession. Here's the grand climax. First, Christ made a complete atonement for the sins of his people. Next, he rose from the dead in proof that his sacrifice was accepted by God. Then he was advanced to the place of supreme honor and power in reward of his undertaking. And now he asks for his people the benefits he purchased for them. The inexpressible blessedness of this appears in the above order. How many who have been suddenly elevated from poverty to wealth, from ignominy to honor, from weakness to power, promptly forget their former associates and friends? And not so the Lord Jesus. Though exalted to inconceivable dignity and dominion, though crowned with unrivaled honor and glory, yet this made no difference in the affections of Christ toward his people left here in this world. His love for them is unabated, his care of and concern for his church undiminished. The goodwill of the Savior unto his own remains unchanged. The ascended Christ is not wrapped up in his own enthronement, but is still occupied with the well-being of his people, maintaining their interests, seeking their good. He ever lives to make intercession for them. He knows they are weak and helpless in themselves and are surrounded by those desiring and seeking their destruction. Therefore does he pray, "I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me." John 17:11. He bases that request on the finished work by which he glorified God, 17:4. The plea that our great high priest urges cannot rest upon our merit, for we have none. It is not in recognition of our worthiness, for we are destitute of such. Nor does our wretchedness furnish the reason that the intercessor urges on our behalf, for that very wretchedness has been brought upon us by our sins. There are no considerations personal to ourselves that Christ can plead on our behalf. No, his all-sufficient sacrifice is the alone plea, and that must prevail. Christ intercedes in heaven because he died for us on earth, Hebrews 9:24-25. If left entirely to themselves, believers would perish. Temptations and tribulations from without, corruptions from within, would prove too strong for them. Therefore does Christ make intercession on their behalf, that God would grant them such supplies of grace and pardoning mercy that they will be preserved from total apostasy. It is not that he prays they may be kept from sin absolutely, but from a fatal and final departure from God. This is evident from the case of the 11 on the night of his betrayal. Not one only, but all of them forsook him and fled. It was the prevailing power of his intercession that brought them back again. That was made more especially evident in the case of Peter. The Lord Jesus foresaw and announced that he would deny him thrice. And lower than that, it would seem, a Christian cannot fall. Yet he prayed that his faith should fail not. Nor did it. It worked by love and produced repentance. That for which our great high priest particularly asks is the continuance of our believing. The very thing Christ does pray for is that thy faith fail not, for the continuance of a living faith. For where that is, there will be good works. And that for which Christ asks must be performed, not only because he is the Son of God, and therefore could ask for nothing contrary to the Father's will, but because his intercession is based upon his sacrifice. He pleads his own merits, and pleads only for those things that he has purchased for his people, the things to which they are entitled. That for which Christ intercedes is clearly revealed in John 17. It is for the preservation, unification, sanctification, and glorification of his people. The substance of his petitions is found in verse 11, where in effect he says, Holy Father, thou art concerned for each of these persons and hast been viewing them with unspeakable satisfaction from everlasting. Thou gavest them to me as a special expression of thy love. My heart is set upon them, and my soul delighteth in them, because they are mine by thy free donation. As I am going to leave them behind me, and they are weak and defenseless in themselves, exposed to many enemies and temptations, I pray thee keep them. Let them have the person of the Holy Spirit to indwell them. Let him renew their spiritual life and graces day by day. Let him preserve them in thy sacred truth. That prayer will be fully answered when Christ will present them to himself, a glorious church. Ephesians 5:27. That piece is from Studies in the Scriptures, available from Chapel Library. That was Arthur Pink. Now, a little bit longer, Jonathan Edwards, 1703 to 1758, I think you know that name, American Congregational preacher and theologian, born in East Windsor, Connecticut Colony, USA. He hath shed forth this, is the name of this little piece of a sermon, Jonathan Edwards. The Holy Spirit, or the third person of the Trinity in his operations and fruits, is the sum of the blessings that Christ purchases for us in the work of our redemption. The first evidences of the doctrine. This is plainly taught in the text we are upon, but further, first, the Holy Spirit is the great subject of the promises in the covenant God has entered, relating to man's redemption. The Spirit of God is spoken of as the great thing promised by God the Father to the Son in the covenant of redemption. Luke 24:49, And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And in Acts 1:4, Being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. In Acts 2:33, Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Then in Isaiah 59, And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. A further evidence is the great promise of the covenant of grace made by Christ to believers. And so in the text of Acts 2:38-39, Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. A further evidence is the term the Spirit of promise, in whom ye also trusted, Ephesians 1:13, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Second, the Holy Spirit is the great legacy that Christ left to his church at his death. Third, the outpouring of the Spirit is insisted on by the prophets as the grand blessing wherein should consist that blessedness and glory that the church should be brought to in the latter days by the Messiah, Isaiah 32. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Isaiah 44, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And in Ezekiel 36:27, I will put my Spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And in Ezekiel 39:29, neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my Spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Then in Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Fourth, this is represented as that wherein the communicative fullness of Christ consists. Full of grace, John 1:14. Of his fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace, John 1:16. That was by his being full of the Spirit. The Father giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him, John 3:34. God the Father gave the Son his fullness by appointing him. Saints are made holy and happy by his unctions flowing down. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, Psalm 133:2. This is that which Christ communicates as a vital head. Fifth, this is represented as the great blessing Christ received for believers at his ascension into heaven. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, John 16:7. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, and so on, Acts 2:33. Sixth, Christ's own exaltation and glory he received as his reward, and is represented as chiefly consisting in it. God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness, Psalm 45:7. Thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure, Psalm 36:8. Seventh, this was the great blessing actually bestowed, whereby Christ's promised success was fulfilled after he had finished the work of our redemption. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, Ephesians 4:8. Eighth, this is spoken of as the sum of all good things that we have to pray for. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Luke 11:13. In the parallel passage, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Matthew 7:11. Ninth, 'tis by the Spirit of God that God dwells in believers and is bestowed on them as their portion. Tenth, what the saints have of the Spirit of God in this world is spoken of as the earnest of that inheritance Christ purchases for them, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory, Ephesians 1:13-14. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 1:20-22. Now we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 5:4-5. 11th, we are spoken of as being made partakers of Christ's body and blood by our receiving this. He said, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I'm speaking to you, they are spirit, and they are life. It's John 6:53-63. Finally, the 12th point, the work of the Spirit summarizes all the great blessings insisted on in the offers and invitations of the gospel. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 7:37-38. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Revelation 21:6. O, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isaiah 55:1. That was from Jonathan Edwards, mainly from the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures, but it's a book that he wrote called The Holy Spirit, The Sum of the Blessings Purchased for Us by Christ. Actually, that's not the name of the book, but a sermon that's in a book called Jonathan Edwards' Sermons that you can probably Google online and get through this Free Grace Broadcaster Chapel Library also. Well, that's it for today. We will talk more about the Ascension and related articles at another time. We have the works of several other great men of God on this website. I hope that you'll dig around and see what you can find. There's a lot of good stuff. North Korea audios are there by the hundreds, literally. Quran and Muhammad and prophecy and through the Bible and commentaries. It's just a lot of stuff that through the years has accumulated, and I think it's good stuff that you need to be thinking about. So browse around, look at the store there, click on store. You'll see about 11 books I've put out. I do hope you'll join me again. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.